Pennsylvania is the biggest commercial producer of mushrooms in the United States. Foraging groups are popping up to find the fungus in the wild, while small farms are focusing on growing unique mushrooms. Earlier this year, WVIA's Kat Bolus spent some time learning more.
The ancient Greeks used to think that the mushrooms were sent from Zeus by his lightning because they would show up after the rain.
That's James Bolus, the head chef and owner of Backwoods Bar and Kitchen in Dallas. He's also my cousin. Our dads were brothers. James is the first person I knew to go foraging. In August, I met him in the woods in Luzerne County. James brought along a packet of information about wild mushrooms and the National Audubon Society's Field Guide to Mushrooms in North America. James says mushrooms are not a plant or an animal. The spore-producing organisms have their own kingdom.
There's 10 subphyla, 35 classes, 12 subclasses, and 129 orders. Of the estimated 3.8 million fungi species, only 148,000 have been described.
There are four types of fungi. Some, like oyster mushrooms, grow on dead and decaying matter like dead trees. Others are parasitic. Endophytic mushrooms are the least understood fungi. They live within a plant, but don't cause them harm. They also don't provide any benefits.
So it's not a symbiotic relationship. They're just hanging out together, which is interesting.
Last are my cortisol fungi, like truffles.
And that's going to be most of the ground mushrooms that you find.
So, you want to go for a walk in the woods? Where do we have some good trails?
James isn't the only person out there foraging. I joined along the Nature Conservancy's Mushroom 101 program in the Poconos.
Actually, there's another old saying amongst mushroom enthusiasts. Every mushroom is edible. Once.
That's Dave Washleski from the Wyoming Valley Mushroom Club. He's guiding a small group of future foragers. Washleski is a citizen scientist. He uses mostly Latin names for the mushrooms.
Now, dead man's fingers are Xylaria.
He's been hunting mushrooms for 40 years.
But I've really become quite interested in collecting mushrooms to study, to preserve and pass along to researchers.
Both Washleski and James say before you start foraging, learn your trees.
Some mushrooms prefer being in contact with coniferous trees, you know, over a hardwood like an oak or a maple and vice versa.
When I met up with James, it was August. There was a dry spell followed by rain. He says that's an ideal time to forage. He always brings a field guide with him, and he doesn't rely on apps or an internet search. James says when identifying mushrooms, there's a few characteristics to keep in mind. Look at the shape, size, and texture of the cap. Flip it over and check out the bottom. Is it a polypore, which looks like a sponge, or does it have gills? James recommends beginners avoid mushrooms with the thin, papery structures under the mushroom cap that look like an accordion folder. Most lethally poisonous mushrooms have gills. Check out the stem. If it has rings around it, James says to avoid that one too. There are many edible mushrooms, but that doesn't mean you should eat them.
So when we're talking about mushrooms that are favorable for the plate, we call them choice mushrooms.
While mushrooms and a vast variety of them seem to sprout up just about everywhere in nature, growing them for commercial purposes is complicated and scientific. You can't have mushrooms and Pennsylvania in the same sentence without mentioning the Kennett Square area of Chester County.
So first we need to talk a little bit about history, the history of mushroom farms in Pennsylvania. It started back in the late 1800s.
That's Maria Gorgo from Penn State Extension. William Swain was a florist who lived in Kennett Square. Gorgo says in the 19th century, he decided to grow mushrooms beneath his greenhouse benches. He became successful mostly because of his close proximity to Philadelphia.
He was followed by other people, you know, by other farmers that started growing mushrooms in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Gorgo says Pennsylvania is the number one producer of mushrooms, but it's not necessarily because of climate or soil or any other factors that typically impact crops.
You can pretty much grow it everywhere, anywhere. It's a 12 months, 7 days a week production.
James knew I was on a mushroom journey. He had an opportunity to tour Tojo Mushrooms. It's a fourth generation family farm in Avondale. On our drive in, about 10 miles from the farm, we passed a water tower declaring Kennett Square as the mushroom capital of the world. Tojo has 70 rooms for growing mushrooms. They are spread out over 7 locations in a 20 to 25 mile perimeter. Tony Suma is Tojo's growing coordinator and was our tour guide. He's also a Northeast PA native. He grew up in Moscow. He took us first to where they compost the soil. It's used to grow the mainly white and brown mushrooms that can be found at grocery stores all over Pennsylvania.
There's a hopper here, and that's where the supplement goes.
Piles of compost smoked on the humid, chilly gray day. It's made up of straw, hay, manure, cacao shells, corn cob, gypsum, and other organic items. Suma says each ingredient provides a different nutritional component for the mushrooms, and each mushroom grower has their own unique formula. Large trucks flip and aerate the compost. The core needs to stay hot to kill microbes and pathogens. Suma then took us into a cinder block grow house. It's known as a double because of the shape of the roof. The grow room is 70 feet long. Mushroom spores and compost are mixed on wooden beds. There's 7 levels of beds inside the dark rooms. The first room smelled like thyme. They put the herb dust in the air to keep the gnats away.
You can see it's starting to get a little fuzzy, and that's where the mycelium's starting to colonize and get together.
Fungus spores are microscopic. Before they're placed in the compost, Suma says the spores are put on smaller pieces of organic matter like grain or millet. In the wild, spores are transferred mostly by the wind. They develop into that fuzzy mycelium that looks like a winter's frost on the compost. It's an unseen network of fungus, or the roots. Mushrooms then sprout from that network. Hunter Vargo has a small mushroom farm in Holly. He compared mushrooms to apples.
The fruit is made to reproduce and die off the apple tree. It's the same thing. The mushrooms are made to just pop up for a short period of time and die and release spores to try and conquer the world.
Mushroom growers like Tojo and Vargo monitor the temperature throughout the entire grow process. I was happy to be wearing a coat when we checked out the first room at Tojo. By the time we got to the last grow room of the tour, seemingly perfect round mushroom caps sprouted up in dense patches. My coat was less necessary. Suma handed us flashlights before we went into the grow rooms. They're kept dark because
the mycelium doesn't like light.
The mushrooms are picked from the grow house, then brought back to Tojo's factory and processed. Plastic packages of mushrooms roll down the assembly line. Plastic wrap was placed over the top and stuck with a variety of grocery store-specific labels. Somewhere between foraging and large-scale farming are the small mushroom farmers like Vargo.
So what do we have back here? So
So we have some blue oyster mushrooms on this rack, and they're just basically a simple kitchen rack.
Vargo is 20. He runs Mountain View Mushrooms. It's a small operation in his neighbor's barn. He works as a farmhand. Vargo feeds the horses, pigs, and chickens in exchange for using the space. He built the grow room himself.
Patched up some concrete holes, put up a little structure on the back side of this barn, added my own heating and cooling system to keep the little room somewhat climate controlled.
During the pandemic, Vargo's mom bought a mushroom growing kit from Walmart. He became fascinated with the process. He offered his first harvest to the Woodlock Springs Resort in Holly at no charge.
I just dropped them off and they wanted to buy.
Cool.
And that's how my business started.
Then his teacher from Wampaupack area, Clayton LeCoe, suggested Hunter sell at the Scranton Co-op Farmers Market.
And I just took a chance and went there, and it's been doing really good.
Yeah.
I love it there. I have so much friends and like just supportive farmers. And yeah, it's a really nice community to be around.
On a recent Friday, I heard Vargo sharing his mushroom knowledge with a hesitant buyer. She walked away with a paper bag of mushrooms. Hunter grows his mushrooms on pieces of hardwood. He first mixes his own substrate, which is like the compost mix at Tojo. He also heats it up to kill off any bacteria. In a sterile room in his family's home, he inoculates the mix with mushroom spores. His grow room looks like a walk-in cooler you'd find at a restaurant. Inside, big, fuzzy lion's mane mushrooms sprout up like clouds on logs covered in plastic. Tiny white enoki mushrooms grow in large, dense patches like white grass. He has vibrant blue oyster mushrooms and puffy, thick king pearl oyster mushrooms. He likes to keep the room at 55 to 60 degrees.
Things grow really slow, but the product looks way better.
Vargo learned how to grow from YouTube and now documents his process on his own channel.
Yeah, 60,000 views.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
So this is the Russula. So these are an edible mushroom, but almost every time you see them, if they're any bigger than this, they've... Oh, look, I beat me to it anyway. Squirrel got it.
Almost every Back time in the woods, James and I found so many different types squirrel. Of mushrooms. We took home black trumpet mushrooms. He says they're very specific to hardwood forests and grow mostly in the summer months.
Yeah, this is a great, great haul here. If I spent the whole day out here, I could definitely find several pounds of these.
Using a sharp knife, James cut the mushrooms close to their base. He says mushrooms that grow on trees are woodier the closer you get to the tree, so you can just snap them off at the cap. When we got back to the restaurant, he made a meal with our haul. James says raw mushrooms are hard to digest. They also have compounds you have to cook off to make the fungus edible. Mushrooms are more about texture than taste.
The oyster mushroom, for instance, literally has the texture of an oyster once you cook it. I would say there's a wider range of textures than flavors. Once you like spot a couple mushrooms and then realize, oh, I can eat that. And then obviously the cooking side of things, it all came together and now I'm just obsessed with it. I don't know, I guess I've just always loved the idea of just free food, I guess. Natural food, eating from the land, like it just feels right.
Reporting from Northeast PA in Avondale, I'm Kat Bolas.